We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Time to take time for Jesus. We hope that your time has been with the Lord in these past few days, has been well with you, and all is going well. We just trust that God has blessed you and keeping you. Friends, in the days that we now live, we've got to rely upon Him and His grace more so than upon the arm of flesh. We hear that how that people have come by and they try to make believe that they have such great power with God and how it has turned out to be the opposite way. My friend, we need to take time in the scriptures to read and find out what thus saith the word of God, because oftentimes false preachers and false people have come around to bring forth things that it may or may not be consistent with the word of God. So that's why I encourage you to read your Bible to find out when these people comes along and they bring forth the things at which end that they bring up, that it may be that you will know that whether in they are in the scriptures or not. So that's why I encourage you to read your Bible to find out what thus saith the word of God. That way you won't be so easy carried away with every wind of doctrine, with false teachings and false prophets. We need to realize that God is God and He's all over the world. He's not just in one place or one particular group of people, as so many times that I've heard and have come in touch with people that believe that if you don't belong to a certain organization that you cannot make it. But I'm firmly believe that the word of God says, and except we've been born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. And He said, I marvel not that I say, except you be born again, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. But as John came into this world there, he came as 6 months prior to the Lord coming, and he made mention of the baptism of water. He made mention that when Jesus came on the scene, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. So, my friend, how could any organization, regardless of what his backroom teachings and doctrines may be, of his articles of faith and everything, if he comes teaching, Paul made mention about, if he comes teaching or preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus came into this world for the purpose to die for yours and my sins, to worry in that we could be brought back from where that Adam in the garden failed in that one commandment that God told him to not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden of knowledge. So he did, and so that put us all in sin. Rebellion is about what it amounts to, rebellion against God and His sovereignty, brought a division, a petition between God and man, because God does not tolerate sin, my friend. He has so far seemed to have went along with it, but He's been trying to get people to understand by His word and by the Spirit of God, through some are teaching the absolute and some are teaching this here easy believing stuff, raise your hand kind of attitude, or I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not attitude in these things and one thing or another. But my friend, that's why I encourage you to read your Bible to find out what it has to say on the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, came into this world to die for sinners such as we. He brought us back from the brink of destruction by Him coming to bring forth and take upon himself the sins of the world. Now, he was one without sin. He had no spot or blemish. It was nothing found in him that when his examination before Pilate and them, that they could accuse him of, but the people accused him, but that was the way it was supposed to be. He was supposed to be denied, and therefore he was crucified, and it fulfilled all that had been the prophets of old had been spoke about, and to bring forth salvation. So as we look into the scriptures there, that we'll know that when the Pharisees even asked him, he says there in Luke, the 17th chapter, in the 20th verse, he said, when will the kingdom of God come? Well, Christ explained that to him, that it was the kingdom of God is within us. It's the Spirit of God that we're in, that Jesus said that it was expediently that he go away, for if he not go away, the Comforter would not come. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, came, and it being Christ in us, the hope of glory. But Jesus had to suffer first. If we read on into the scriptures there in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, we'll find out that he had to suffer. He must suffer first and be rejected by the world and by them, even in the synagogues there, the priests of the synagogues and all them there, they were supposed to have known, but they denied him and rejected him, denied him before Pilate, hollered out to crucify him. But yet a few days before that, they was willingly crying out, Lord, save us, by saying there in there when he entered into the Jerusalem on the fold of a donkey, they was hanging, Hosanna, 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 which means save now. But later they was hollering, crucify him, because false teachings and false doctrines from those that people looked up to, supposed to have been religious people, supposedly to know, but they condemned him and called him a wine-bibber and said he had a devil in him. He cast out devils by Beelzebub, which was the prince of the devils, and all these things. But then if you look into the scriptures, you find that all that Jesus ever done was for the good and for the benefit of the people. Think about it. When the 10 leopards came there to him, and they cried out afar off and asking it for him to have mercy on them, and he told them to go show themselves to the priest. Now, the priest was instructed in Moses' day there that they would know about these things, and they would be able to pronounce them with leprosy or cleanse. So Jesus, when he told them to go them and show themselves to the priest, he included that they were supposed to have known, but evidently many times they come short of what was supposed to be. In that way, it's that they knew what the Word of God was because they denied him. But anyway, the 10 leopards turned to go to the priest, and they all was healed. They all received their healing as they went to show themselves to the priest. No doubt they was looking and seeing that their skin had become normal, and there was no more eat up in parts of the sores that it created and all this and all. But only one of them returned back and stood afar off and cried out and thanked him for his healing and all, and fell at his feet. But he said, were there not 10 healed? Where is the 9? Only one stranger and everything. My friends, it wasn't those people in the synagogues, the high priest and those there that should have known that Jesus was lifting up. He said, even the stranger there, he came. He realized and recognized that the kingdom of God was not without was there within us. Faith in Jesus Christ, in the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, for yours and my salvation. But yet he suffered the stripes on his back before they nailed him to the cross. for our healing. But people today in this day and we live in now has come to make the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're making merchandise out of a lot of people's soul. They want you to send them money, and they go over a feces of prayer, and they go and make mockery of it, going through some ritual of some kind of supposedly to be the Holy Ghost speaking through them and all that, and then they said all is well, and so on and so forth of that nature. When it comes down to it, you don't get anything without paying for it. But let me tell you something, my friend, that Jesus said that you could come and take of the waters of life freely. He didn't put no price on it because it can't be bought with silver and gold. Peter made mention in his time there that we were not purchased with silver and gold and the material things of this world, but we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. That blood that he shed, he willingly went to Calvary's cross and gave his life for us that we could have salvation. The stripes for our healing comes through faith, believing in him, receiving him as the Messiah, as the one God, one truth in all things, and in the Godhead, the fullness dwelt in the man Jesus. We cannot divide him up and put him in three or four categories. We got to accept him as the scripture says. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism that we're baptized into one body. My friend, when you look in the mirror in the morning to shave or whatever it is that you do, comb your hair, whichever it is, and you look at yourself real carefully and remember that Jesus was God in the flesh, but God was a spirit when he created everything, but everything that was made was not made except with him. Everything that came into this world, everything that exists was created by God himself, the man called Jesus, which is his name that God gave him at the time that he told Mary she would bring forth a son and his name shall be called Jesus, and that he would save his people from their sins. My friend, you got to realize that Father is just a title, Son is a title, and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God. Jesus said, I came out from the Father and I go back to the Father, which means that the Spirit was manifested in the flesh, came into this world to die for you and I, and he went back on the day that he told him that when he ascended, he said, I go back to the Father. He went back to the Spirit. He said, it expediently that I go away. But before he went away, he had to suffer. You see, he came in the flesh. He came for the purpose to die on Calvary's cross. He came for that purpose to pay yours and my sin debt. He came for the purpose to bring us back unto the fellowship with God that we're in, that Adam got us out of it in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, when we got to realize that Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the kingdom of God, we can't look at it in any other way right now but in a spiritual application. We can't see the Spirit of God in the natural carnal eyes. There's many things that scientists have come up and said that there's new things that they discovered. Surely it's that they discovered it. It's been there all the time, but just the natural eye cannot see the things that are far out of our sight. Jesus is out of our sight of the carnality, but my friend, I can look around to him by reading his word and see what it's all about and visualize him in my heart as being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a reality. It's not some kind of myth that somebody come along with, like Santa Claus and the Easter rabbit, like that they put the Lord in the manger back here a few weeks ago, back in December. They brung him out, and now they put him in Santa Claus and all that worship on that day. And when it wasn't even his birthday to begin with, it's no record telling us that whenever it was that the day he was born or whatever. But the season that was represented there tells me that it was not in December the 25th, as so many people comes about, and with this false teachings and doctrines, because the shepherds was not in the field. The sheep were in the folds, and the shepherd was somewhere or another in the warmth of their homes and things there. And the sheep were not in the fields on December the 25th. Think about it. The way that our weather has been all around and everything and throughout the world. And grant you that Florida has been blessed, and I thank God for it. But I want you to know one thing. A hurricane season's coming along, starts in June. I don't know what's in store. No man knows, but there's going to be something other that's going to bring forth a retaliation against the people that are in this world and refuse to believe the word of God, refuse to receive him as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Messiah, as their King, as Lord of the glory, and him as God himself manifested in the flesh. Somebody's going to reap the whirlwind, my friend. I don't want you to fall short. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible, to get you one and read it tremendously there. Believe what it says, asking God to help you by his Spirit and through his grace to understand that we're living in perilous times. Jesus spoke of them at that time there when he says that, when he spoke about as it was in the days of Noah. My friend, in those days, people didn't regard Noah as being anything but a wacky old man, maybe. But he knew what God had told him, and he believed what God said, and he was found God found grace in him, and he found him there to be worthy to spare him from the flood, and he told him to build the ark. Well, his family was the only ones that were saved during that time, and when he went into the ark, we got to realize that Jesus came into this world, and he told them about the kingdom of God was out without observation, but it was the glory that the kingdom of God was hope within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. My friend, we got to realize that if you see anything, if you've got it in your hand, why hope for it? But when you can't see it and you can't hold it, then you can hope for it. I can't see my Lord in the reality of my carnal mind, of my eyes, but I can see him in the scriptures and the things that he created. I can see him there in a spiritual application of all of his creation. You can see him there. As I was going to say a moment ago, that when you look into the mirror in the morning and you comb your hair, or some of you women put on your makeup, when some of you look better without it than you would with it, but nevertheless, whatever it is you do before your mirror, and therefore, you would take a good look at yourself. Take a real long look, as it's mentioned about that a man looketh into the mirror as a dark and smoky, you might say. And they said that when he looked into the mirror and he sees himself and he turns around, forget whatever he is. But if you remember that in the creation that God made man, he formed him as a dust in the earth, made him as mud, you might say. He put a little water and a little dirt with it and he mixed it up and he molded man in the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. But he said he was made in the image of God and in his likeness. And we're still in the image of God, but where our likeness has come forth is because of disobedience, because of sin. We're not like him anymore, but he is doing everything that could possibly be done to bring us back to the likeness of him. The Christ in us, the hope of glory, to make us of what he wants us to be, what he intended for us to be, have fellowship with him as he had fellowship with Adam there in the cool of the evening in the garden. But when he disobeyed him, it broke forth the fellowship. But God is trying to bring it back again. And his way of doing this was his death on Calvary's cross. Through his life that he gave, through the shed blood that paid our sin debt, he's trying to bring us back into the kingdom of God. Oh, my friends, we got to realize that God's word is truth. He is a sovereign God. He don't need you and I, but we need him. Whether you realize it or not, Noah understood that when God told him, he said, I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth. I'm going to do away with all the corruption and all this, all them non-believers, those hypocrites and whatever. But I'm going to bring a flood. So I want you to do this, Noah. I want you to build an ark. I want it in this dimension and this way. I don't want you to vary from, but I don't want you to build it just as I give you the schematics to do it with. He said, for I'm going to send a flood upon the earth, and I'm going to, it's come up to me that such a stinker in my nostrils, in other words, that man is so corrupt that I'm going to destroy it. But thank God that Noah found grace in the sight of God. My friends, without the grace of God, you and I would be most miserable. I mean, without faith in him, without him, you and I, our lives would be so miserable, mixed up until we wouldn't even want to do nothing but just whatever. That's the way it was in the days of Noah. People was doing all kinds of things. Look about us today. See what people are doing. It's either for drugs or money or just for plain old sin, because the devil is running rampant and he's seeking all that he can devour. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear you mention about the sins, don't like to hear you talk about hell, but Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. I want you to understand that hell is a place that God prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. Them that disobeyed God, he cast them out, and he's going to cast them into hell and fasten them up at the time of his return. But now, if you want to go there, he'll let you. It's not his will, but if that's what you want to do, he made us a free moral agent, and you can choose of what you want to do, and you can choose to go out there and rob the bank, or you can go out there and kill and rape and everything. But when the law catches up with you, you're going to pay the consequences. In the same way with God, we can do whatever we want to in this life, sin like I don't know what, and do anything that our so little old fleshly desires to do. But in the end, when the kingdom of God becomes to be visualized, when Jesus comes and the power of his resurrection, with all the power and authority, he's going to come in the clouds and receive his own, but he's going to take them out of the world. But the world's going to be left here, and them that fail to heed to the word of God, to believe in this man called Jesus, and they're not prepared for the coming of the Messiah or the King of Kings, when he comes, as the Bible speaks of the bridegroom, when he comes in the clouds of glory to choose his bride, to get his bride and to take her away. But I want you to know, them that miss out is going to be open stock to the devil. I mean, there'll be half a run round making all kinds of things happen. But God has preserved his people. Bible says, when he that will let it, and all these things are working, even to evil days, the devil is working in yours and my lifetime now. But when he is no longer restrained, as long as the Christian people, God's people, are praying for the world and everything, as long as they're here, the devil has been limited to what he can do. Because God told him there many years ago, when he spoke about in Job's time. He said, you can do anything, but you can't take his life. Jesus went into the heart of the earth and took the keys from death and hell from the devil when he descended. I want you to understand, my friend, that God is the life giver. He also can take your life. The devil can't give you life, neither can he take it without God's permission. God has to give him permission to do what he does, and without that permission, he is restrained. So when God lifts his church off of the world, off of the earth, in other words, all of his Christian believers, them that have been born again, and they realize that the kingdom of God is hope within us in Christ Jesus, and when it's took off of the face of the earth, and there's no longer no restraint against it, it's going to be havoc around the world. Them that miss out on the rapture is going to reap the whirlwind of the devil's fierceness. So I encourage you, read your Bible. Find out for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it, but I would encourage you to take the word of God for it, because it's infallible. It's not something to take lightly. It's to take to believe and trust in, because your only hope is in it. You have no plan that's going to get you out of this world alive. It's just utterly impossible. But I want you to know you can be cast into hell, as the Bible says, that when he said, depart from me, they'll be cast into hell, alive with the false prophets and teachers, even with the devil himself, and all them be cast into hell alive, which is the second death. So why not we just believe the word of God and take it as it is, trust in the Lord God of creation, believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting that precious blood for the atonement of our sins, looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith, calling upon the name of the Lord before it's eternally too late, and looking to him for salvation. Because there's no other name. No other name given among men whereby that we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. So you're looking at other places, arm of flesh or whatever. It's futile. It's plumb senseless, because it cannot help you. The government can't. Nobody else can do it. It's only in Jesus' name that whereby that is the plan of salvation. Because God himself told the little girl Mary, a little Jew girl, it was born in the lineage of David, where kings come from, because David was God's chosen king. He didn't choose Saul, the people did. But Saul was turned out to be all messed up in the end. He conferred with soothsayers and witches instead of conferring with God and looking to him to lead and direct him. He wanted to know what to do, and so he called a witch out. Got a witch to call up Samuel, which was dead, and it like to scared the old witch to death when she recognized it was Samuel. Saul was supposed to have killed them all, them with familiar spirits back then. He disobeyed God too. So many times that disobedience had brought things just different from what it could have been if we'd have been obeying. I remember when I disobeyed my mom and everything, that my dad wasn't around much, but nevertheless, when I disobeyed her from what she had told me not to do something, and I done it anyway, I reaped what it was to come, and I got me a good dose of switch LMT. And I want you to know it finally got through to me. It's better to do what she told me to do or not told me to do and to have to suffer the switching that would come on me, the chastisement, in other words, that come upon me for my disobedience. Friend, it's better to better to obey than to disobey, because God is sovereignty, and he's going to call the world to account for their disobedience, for the destruction of what he created. And it's going to be every man is going to have to come to repentance, because without repentance, you're a rebel to God, And a rebel to God means a sinner. And all sinners is going to have their part in the lake of fire, along with adulterers, and along with drunkards, and along with murderers, and them that does everything opposite from what God would have them to do. And all these here things that perversions and all these things that are God has said that was an abomination in his sight. And all these things is going to be cast into hell. So if you want to preserve your life, the best thing, the best information that I can give you, read your word of God, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and get to be obedient to him and give him praise and honor. For he is the only one that stands between you and destruction. Because he is a mediator, as the scripture said, between man and God. God is a spirit. And Jesus said, I came out from the Father and I go back to the Father. He could not be with you wherever you were at and with somebody else thousands of miles as long as he was in the flesh. But he went back to the Spirit, which was the Father. And he come back into power of the resurrected Christ in the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, on the day of Pentecost. And he dwells in them that would receive him. The hope of glory. Christ in us. The hope of glory. There's no other way you can find it, my friend. It's been a lot of false teachings going on. And the man over there in, called the Pope, well, he's brought a lot of stuff. Not only this one, but many others that's before him, has brought a lot of deception between man and God because of his false teaching. It's a harlot place of doctrine, and it cannot be truth in it, because Mary was just a little Jew girl, but praying to Mary, Hail Mary to this and that, and one thing I know a part of it is scriptures, that she was blessed among women, and I agree with that. But my friend, praying to her is not going to get you into the kingdom of God. It's going to be calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Mary did not die for your sins. Her blood could not cleanse you from her sins because she was flesh, and she had made mistakes herself, no doubt. But the thing of it is, that which was perfect, that which was without spot or blemish, came into this world. God himself manifested in the flesh of the man called Jesus, came into this world to die for you and I as he died for Mary. If you remember, there was a song out, the womb that created him. She was that womb that was in there, the wonder of wonders. He created it all, my friend. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. He created the womb that gave him his birth. He created all the things. He was not conceived by the will of man, but God spoke his word into her womb, and it became flesh according to the scriptures. So we got to accept what the Bible says and not what some feller says over there, wherever he may be. We've got to believe what the Word of God said. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible. See what the Bible has to say about these things. Don't believe this every wind of doctrine and you can go by and say, how many Hail Marys. You can go by and throw your money into the pot for the rich Pope and all them things of that nature and buy somebody out of purgatory. Honey, when you're in there, purgatory is not even mentioned. He called it hell. And when you be cast into that, prevent you that you're there, you cannot get out. Jesus explained that to the rich man and Lazarus there. Lazarus died and was carried into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died also, but in hell he lifted up his eyes and cried out that Abraham had let Lazarus come and dip his finger into the water and cool his tongue, for he was tormented in them flames. And then he went on, and Abraham told him, he said, no, there's a great gulf fixed between us. You can't come up here, and he can't go down there. Well, send him to my father's house and tell my, he got the prophets, Yes, but one come back from the dead, they would believe. He said, no, even though we've come back from the dead. Jesus Christ rose on the third day as he said he would when they crucified him. He said that he would rise, but many of you won't believe what the scripture says, that he is alive and alive forevermore, except you believe, as he told them there, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He was talking to the Pharisees and the scribes back in those days, the high ups in the church, if you will. Them that believed that they was all right. They were more holier than I. As you would find out, the Pharisees cried out there and said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like these other people. I'm glad I fast 3 times a week. I pay my tithes and I do all these and everything and all. And I'm glad I'm not like that publican down there. But the little old publican down there, a sinner, knowed and recognized he needed help. He bowed his head and smote his chest and said, God, have mercy on me as a sinner. The scripture said he was more justified than the Pharisee that glorified himself. When a man exalts himself, he's going to be abased. But if he humbles himself, he will be abased. He'll be lifted up. One day, them that humbled themselves at the foot of the cross, crying out to the Lord for salvation, when the Lord comes, whether he's asleep in the dust of the earth, or whether he be alive and remain, he's going to meet the Lord in the clouds of glory. My friend, he will go back, and he had to ascend before he could descend. But before he died, when he was in the tomb, he descended into the heart of the earth and took the keys from death and hell. But he had to ascend. But now he's going to descend one day, but he's not going to come back to the earth. He's going to come in the clouds, and his bride will go to meet him. But when he comes back and puts his foot on Mount Olive later on with all of his saints, it's going to be, you might say, a disaster for this world. They're going to run and moan and cry out and cast their wealth into the holes of the bats, cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from him, the face of him that sits on the throne. My friend, judgment will be upon the whole world, and them that have failed to call upon the name of the Lord and for salvation and have not repented and their sins still remained upon them, it's going to be really bad. I want you to understand that. Only way that your sins can be remitted is by repenting. Repenting unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Calling upon him. Being heartbroken, in other words. With a contrite spirit. Humble before God. Calling upon him. Recognizing he is the only plan of salvation there is. He came for that purpose. He died for that purpose. Our only hope is in him. Not in the material things of this world, in the wealth and the things that come along with wealth and so on and so forth. It's got to be all in Christ Jesus. I just thank God today to know that through the scriptures teaches that we need him. He can do without us. Think about it. However long that God existed, it's been eternity, eons, without a beginning, without an end. But before you and I came into this world, he was getting along great. But when he came and he created it all, he done it for the purpose of his glory, to add to the glory to the world and for his purpose. But he put man on it to dress the garden. He made man a woman to be his helpmeet. And when they failed in the garden, then God brought forth a division between God and man. God came back to destroy that division, to tear down that partition there that was brought forth and bring us back to him through his death on Calvary's cross, through his shed blood, he came back to for that purpose, to redeem man from where he had failed. So it's up to you and I. We can accept the sovereignty of God. We can accept the sacrifice that he made for us, or we can reject him, as they did when Noah was telling them about. They rejected. They most likely laughed at him. And some people out there that hear the preachers that preaching that Jesus is coming soon and the end of the world is going to be with a destructive force, there's probably many of them laughing at us. And if they hear me, well, that's all right. I'll be the one that will be in the kingdom of God, and they're going to be the one that's going to weep and wail and gnash of teeth with the devil and his gang in hell. So if they want to laugh at me, that's okay. Whatever they may do to this old body, you got to remember that they done it to the Lord first. They went and taken him and abused him and bruised him and persecuted him to some pool of hair from his beard, or his beard from his face rather, beat him with a cat of nine tails till the flesh on his back hung down over his buttocks. And the Bible says it was unrecognizable. Never a man had been mutilated like that into the place, and he suffered for you and I. And he bore his cross up Calvary's hill. Allowed him to nail him to the cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to the name. Honey, that's what I'm trying to do today, is lift him up. That name that is above every name. That when it comes a time, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. And without him, you will be lost, so would I. But I pray that God will touch your life in a way that your heart will be overcome by his Spirit, and you, if you don't know him, you begin to come to know him as your personal Savior, calling upon him in repentance to avoid that place of torment that was prepared for the devil that the Bible calls hell. Now, you can call it purgatory if you want to, and you can have somebody to say they're going to pledge so many millions of dollars to get you out of there, but honey, when the $1 million is gone up in smoke, you're going to still be in hell, kicking and screaming with the devil if that's where you went. I don't know as any man, according to the word of God, the Bible says that Jesus told the parable, the rich man was in hell, lifted up his eyes, seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom being comforted. While the rich man was alive and on earth, he had it all. But in hell, he didn't have nothing but pain and torment. So, my friend, it's up to us. It's your decision, as it was to mine. I ran for a long time. But when he come to the place that I had to face up to reality, and the chastisement of God was upon me, I accepted him as my Savior, and he renewed my strength and my faith in him, healed me many times from sin and from sickness. The most important healing that ever came is when I repented, and the healing of my sin-sick soul. That's the most important healing. Paul went through life as he was. He was a energetic man, and he thought he had it all made. But on the road to Damascus, he came face to face with the glory of God, and it blinded him to the extent that scales come over his eyes. But I want you to know he had problems with his eyes all the time after that. Prayed 3 times for God to remove it. And God told him, he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul went and suffered much for the kingdom of God because he brought things upon the kingdom of God and brought them against him. So he suffered much. But he was faithful. And he left out of this world knowing that when he went to Rome, he was going to meet up with the end of his time. He knew that he was going to die. But he said in there, before he passed, he left in a word there. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. In other words, I've run the race with patience. I've worked and I've done everything that was required of me by the Lord. I have done. Now, therefore, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. But not only for me, but for all of them that love the Lord and His appearing. So that means you and I, my friend, we've got the opportunity of salvation. But whether you two accept it or not, that's entirely up to you. Same as it was with me, but I accepted my Lord as my Savior. He came into my life and I have hope in Him. It's not in the material things. I don't have a lot of the material things. I've got a roof over my head, and I have food on the table, shoes on my feet, and a good place to sleep. But that forth is given to me because God loved me. Not that I deserved it. Not that I was worthy of it. Because of His love towards me, He has blessed me with that I have need of, the necessities of life, as He has many others. Many others have went forth and tried to gain the world's riches by falsehoods and all these things. But one day, when the rubber hits the road, as I used to hear a feller say, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of the rubber hits the road or to the truth of the facts, when Jesus comes, He's going to separate the wheat from the tares. And the tares are going to be bundled up and put into fire. And the wheat's going to be gathered into the gurney, which is the kingdom of God. My friends, it's up to you and I. It's all in Christ Jesus. You can either accept Him or reject Him. They rejected Him in the Noah's preaching of the flood. They rejected. They were eating, drinking, being merry, and giving in marriage and marriage and all that kind of stuff. Didn't even know it until the flood come and took them away. As it was in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, they were doing the same thing, but only they was in an abomination worse than, I guess, that you might could say there was in Noah's time. It all might have been all the time that just as bad. But they were given unto desires of the flesh, men with men and women with women. They didn't even realize it until Lot went out of the city. Noah was invited into the ark, and the door was shut, and Noah was safe, but the flood came and carried all them away. Everything that breathed the breath of life died. When Lot went out of the city, his wife looked back. Many of you looking back today, let me encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus, pressing toward the mark of the high call, as Paul made mention. In Christ Jesus. Don't look back. The world has got nothing for you. If you accepted the kingdom of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, what has the world got to offer you that you cannot have? My friend, it's time that you begin to realize. I see it's coming time. I want my wife to have something other here, but I want to encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord. Read your Bible. I believe God put man and woman here on the face of this earth. He made woman from a man's rib, and He put her here to be a helpmeet. And I appreciate this one that I got that I call my wife. I appreciate God giving her to me. I appreciate it much until she's a part of my life as I am a part of hers, and Christ is our life. So we just work together for the kingdom of God. Someday we'll have that reward of eternal life in a crown and a robe of righteousness. That's what we're working for. It's not all me, it's not all her, but it's all in Christ Jesus. So my friend, when Lot went out of Sodom, the fire failed and destroyed them all simply because that they failed to believe what Lot had been telling them, and say they lost, they was perished. So if you believe what the scripture says, and believe in those that will teach you what the scripture says, and having faith in God through Jesus Christ, then you can have eternal life. Otherwise, you'd be lost. May God bless you. Now, here's my wife here. And
praise the Lord. I'm just blessed this afternoon to be able to take time for Jesus, which I do most of the day. I'm a person that wakes up in the morning, thank the Lord for a peaceful night's rest. And all day long, you know, you'll hear me singing. If you come in contact with me, it doesn't make any difference where I am, store, wherever. I sing all the time. Jesus put a song in my heart, and I keep it there. But I just, our goal today is, or every day, is to bring you closer to the coming of the Lord and to let you know that we're concerned about your soul. A lot of people, they try to tickle your ears, but we're telling you this afternoon and every time we have a broadcast that you need to get it right. And but this afternoon, I want to share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart. There's many things that I thought about, but this one here is covering sinkholes. In the last few years, there's been sinkholes, there's been earthquakes and all kinds of tragedies from I believe that God's getting tired of things, and so he says, I'll get your attention one way or the other. Can't get it any other way, so he puts these here disasters on you. But in late May of 2010, there was a tropical storm in Central America producing torrential rains and landslides. Once it's finished its course, a 200-foot deep sinkhole opened in downtown Guatemala City. This sinkhole caused the ground to collapse suddenly, sucking land, electrical poles, and a three-story building into the depths of the earth. Those sinkholes can be devastated. The most universal and damaging sinkhole is the one that happens in the human heart. King David was an example of this. The surface of David's life looked stable. However, his interior life rested on a fragile foundation. After his sins of adultery and murder, David thought he had successfully hidden his treacherous act. And you can read this, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. However, God's intense conviction after Nathan's confrontation caused him to realize that denying the presence of sin in his life weakened the foundation of his spiritual life. Does that sound like you? To prevent this spiritual sinkhole from worsening, David acknowledged his sin to God in repentance in Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. As a result, God covered David's sin and gave him the joy of forgiveness. We too will experience God's grace when we confess our sins to him. He will completely forgive and uncover our spiritual sinkholes. Think it over. What habitual sins, secret addictions, or hidden vulnerabilities are weakening your interior life? Remember, God longs to give you complete forgiveness. When we uncover our sins in repentance, God will cover them. And the only way that we or you or I can have our sins covered is by the blood of Jesus Christ through repentance. Jesus Christ said in the Word, "And except you repent, you shall likewise perish." The only way you can have your sins forgiven is through repentance. I don't care how many times that you raise your hand, repeat the sinner's prayer. It's not from your heart. It's somebody telling you what to say. And I believe the only way for you to repent is to really, through God's sorrow, that you can feel it in your heart and ask God to forgive you. Ask Jesus to come into your heart today and forgive you of all your ungodly things. Because that's the only way, friend, you're going to make it. And I always say, today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come for you. It may not come for me. And if you are blessed by our broadcasts and everything on the internet, phoenixbroadcasting.com, take time for Jesus. You can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. com. If you have anything that you would like to share or you would like to help us pay for airtime, it would be appreciated. And that's Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We appreciate all that we get from them, the emails that we get from the broadcasts and everything. We appreciate it. I'd like to read them, but time doesn't permit. So here's Brother Earl to offer his prayer to the end.
Father, we do thank you for your love.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the mercy that you showed into the world the day you took the sins of the world upon you, mine and all them that would call upon you. You bore our sins on the cross, therefore it's given us the opportunity to eternal life. I appreciate it and thank you, Father, for it all in the name of Jesus. We know that you are the one that redeemed us, so we give you praise. Bless those that hear us, O God. May things go well with them and our men and women that have been in these wars. Keep them, O Lord, and help us all, God, that we may come to the understanding of the Word of God in faith and in truth, calling upon Thee. And we give you praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first.